Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is, again, Pastor Farrell Shepherd from the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, August the 18th. Hope you're enjoying a good Tuesday and a good day in the Lord. I thank God for His blessings and His grace and mercy upon us. Let me take this opportunity to invite you again to come and be with us in our services on this coming Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, Brother Doug Bell will be preaching for us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. We'd love to have you be a part of our services. Also, we're going to be having regular service on Sunday. I'll be here this coming Lord's Day, August the 23rd, regular services. We do have a missionary speaker coming in on that Sunday night. And then our missions revival starting up on Wednesday, August the 26th, running through the 30th. Dr. Stennett Blue will be with us and different preachers throughout the day and the nights. And we're looking forward to that. I want to invite you to come be a part of those services with us on those dates. That's August the 26th through the 30th. We'd love to have you be a part of that. Then also, Radio Marathon here at WSOF and WAJJ Radio. We'll be having Radio Marathon September the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Just coming up in a few weeks. Be here before you know it. Be in prayer about that. Ask the Lord that He might meet with us, bless, and help, and just have His way. All right? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. If you will, pray with us. Pray for my wife's arm to continue to heal. Pray for our daughter as she just delivered a child. And I pray that God would bless in the healing and the health and all there. He'll just have His way. And that God would use us. I'll be preaching Wednesday night at the Bluestone Baptist Church in Clarksville, Virginia. So if you will, pray for us in that as well. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank You, Lord, first of all, for salvation. I want to thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, grace, and mercy. Your mercies are new each morning. And I want to thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on us this day. I want to thank You for strength and health. And Lord, just for how good You've been. I want to thank You, Lord, that we not only have life, but we have life more abundantly, that we're really living, that we know something about life that was intended for human beings, more than just physical existence, but a spiritual life. I'm alive spiritually as well as physically, and I'm thankful, Lord, for that. I pray for those, dear God, that are unsaved, that You would deal with them to bring them to that place of recognition that they're missing so much in life. They're not only going to die in their sin and go to hell, but they're missing so much out of life if they don't come to Christ and trust Him even now. Father, I pray that You would cause them that they might recognize their sin against the Holy God, the fact that they are at enmity with God and that there's war between God and the sinner, and therefore the sinner must make things right. The sinner must repent, must surrender, must plead the mercy of God. Father, I pray You'd cause them to come to that place where they would do just that. They'd repent and believe the gospel and be saved by the grace of God. Father, I pray that You'd help the saints of God. Many of them are struggling. Lord, we know many of the saints are struggling financially. Many of the saints are suffering physically. Many of the saints are even suffering emotionally and seem like maybe friends have turned against them or family has turned against them. Father, I pray for them in this hour that You would be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that You would show Yourself strong and so show Yourself present to help them and to bless them. Lord, I pray they'd have joy unspeakable and full of glory, that You'd just let their cup of joy overflow with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Dear God, You'd bless them in a mighty and a powerful way. I do pray, send revival to the saints of God, to the church of the living God. I pray, dear God, You'd turn our nation back to Thee. Father, I pray that You'd bless in our upcoming Wednesday night service. You'd bless in this broadcast. Dear Father, just have Your way and accomplish Your will. And I pray You'll get all the glory and the honor. And we ask it in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to be looking again in the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. And we're going to read the first 4 verses in just a moment. Be bringing you the message that we've started on the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. And we're dealing specifically with some closing thoughts on this first temptation. We're dealing with Christ's answer to the first temptation is what we're going to be looking at today. So if you can find your place there, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. While you're finding that, we'll listen to this song and hope it'll be a blessing. Amen. I am so glad that there'll be somebody there when it comes my time to cross the river. Amen. I'm glad the Lord Himself will be present. to help me across the river to endless joys above. Amen. That was our entire family, the children, not my wife and I, but our children, our daughter Hannah, Joshua, our son Daniel, and our son Benjamin. Three boys and a girl, Daniel, Benjamin, Joshua, and Hannah. And we're grateful for them, and they did a good job on that song. Each one having a part there was a real blessing to my heart. All right, we're looking in the scripture now, Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now again, I remind you, I am preaching today. I took this subject yesterday on Christ's answer to the first temptation. This is dealing with the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Satan tempted our Lord and said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Christ had an answer for him. His answer is found in the Word of God. He said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I mentioned on the last broadcast that we mark the fact that he said every word. I underline that. Man must stand on every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's where our hope is. You see, our Lord knew that if we give in to any part of Satan's offers, if we bring into question any part of God's word, we have given place to the devil, and he'll take advantage of it. Christ gave Satan no room to work with him whatsoever. Amen. Each and every temptation sent by the devil was thwarted by the words, It is written. In each case, Christ replied with the Word of God. By the way, every verse quoted by Christ in this battle came from the book of Deuteronomy. I sort of get a little tickled at these folks that say that we can't use the Old Testament. Our Lord used the Old Testament. It might be the fact, well, you can see from the facts that Satan couldn't handle the Old Testament, and that might be why he's telling you that we can't use the Old Testament. He'd rather you didn't use the Old Testament. Amen. But I'm glad all the Word of God is good. All the Word of God is profitable. Amen. All the Word of God is inspired and profitable for correction and all that. Amen. I'm glad it is. I am so glad it is. But we can stand on every word. Now, since the Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6:17, it is seen as the only offensive weapon in the spiritual armory of the saints. And that's exactly what Christ used to fight off the devil with. He used the sword of the Spirit. Now, first he used the shield of faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, he used that shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. When Satan threw the first punch, if you could say it that way, our Lord deflected it with the shield of faith. And then our Lord stabbed back with the sword of the Spirit. When the devil attacked our Lord attacked the devil. Can I tell you, our best defense against the devil, our best defense against the devil, is the shield of faith with which we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. But we can attack the devil. We can gain territory on the devil by using the Word of God properly. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus used the shield of faith, and he used the sword of the Spirit. He used the very same weapons which are available to you and I. Amen. Our Lord proved that these weapons are powerful enough and versatile enough to accomplish the task of defeating the devil. Now, I put this note here. I do find it interesting that Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. There are two main points of interest which I'd like to point out. All of these verses came from the Old Testament scriptures, while Christ was living in a New Testament age. Again, some argue that New Testament Christians cannot claim Old Testament promises because they are in a different dispensation. But the captain of our faith claimed these promises. He was living in the New Testament. Amen. He was living in the New Testament. He was walking in the New Testament. He is the New Testament. And yet he used the Old Testament words, and they worked for him. And I'll say they will work for us as well, thank God. Even Old Testament scriptures can be used by New Testament saints, and those promises will still stand true. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad God didn't cancel his bank account from the Old Testament. Those checks will still cash. Amen. Those promises will still work. Amen. And I'm glad they will. Second thing I want to mention is that Moses gave the law in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. I know Moses wrote all five books of what we call the law, but I'm talking about these commandments. This law was given in the book of Exodus, chapter 20 primarily. The book of Leviticus, it reiterated. And the book of Deuteronomy is even more used, but the book of Deuteronomy is more the simple commandments of God, without the ceremony, without all the ritual, without all the sacrifices involved there. Amen. I believe that Christ chose this rendering, the book of Deuteronomy, because the ceremonies and the ritual sacrifices of the law could never defeat Satan, because they were weak through the flesh. But Jesus knew that the moral precepts of God's law, Jesus knew that the promises of God's law, when mixed with faith, are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Thank God our weapons are mighty. Our weapons are not carnal. We've got the Word of God, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And it'll still work in this day, this New Testament age. Amen. But the Word of God does not need ritual. The Word of God does not need ceremony. The Word of God does not need some sacrifices. Thank God Jesus is the sacrifice. Amen. He's all we need as far as sacrifice is concerned. And the Word of God is all we need as far as morality, as far as living is concerned. Amen. Now I want you to notice the very words that Christ used. He chose a verse of Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. This was the first lunge at the enemy as he drew the sword of the Spirit and made a stab at the enemy. Here's what he said. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now listen, our Lord Jesus quoted only part of the verse. I hear people sometimes say, you know, the devil only quotes part of the verse. It's true, but part of the verse really is all you have to have as long as it's in its context. If you take it out of context, twisting the verses, then of course you lose its power because it's not being treated truthfully. The Word of God is truth. Amen. But Jesus Christ quoted the last part of that verse. But I want to say this. Certainly our Lord knew the rest of the verse, and I believe the deceiver was familiar with the verse in its entirety. We should take note that this verse was contextually speaking about God's dealing with Israel as with a son. If you'll go back and read the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 8, God was speaking about how that he dealt with Israel as with a son. Now, our Lord has just been accused of not being the Son of God. Satan said, if thou be the Son of God. And so he said, if you was really the Son of God, you wouldn't be hungry right now. Well, Christ reminded him that in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, that God dealt with Israel as if they were his son. And in that dealing with Israel, God spoke of the way in which he brought them through and provided for them through the wilderness. Amen. Perhaps even the same very wilderness in which Christ was standing. Perhaps in the very same wilderness in which the devil was now tempting our Lord Jesus. I want to point out to you that there are three important things of note in this verse and Christ's usage of this verse. Number one, notice that God had brought Israel to this very place for the purpose of humbling them. Can I say that? Again, notice that God had brought Israel to this very place for the purpose of humbling them. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3, the verse he quoted, but reading it in its entirety. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. That word simply means he allowed thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So Christ said that God brought his son Israel through this wilderness for the very place and the very purpose of humbling them. Certainly, Christ was implying to Satan that he recognized the attempt to take him away from humility. Amen. Christ recognized that Satan was trying to move Christ away from humility at the very time which the Father was directing him toward humility. God brought Israel through the wilderness to humble them. God brought his Son into the wilderness to humble him. Can I say to you and I that God has left us here and God is working in our lives now? It is certainly not to lift us up in pride. It's not to that we might just enjoy pleasures and enjoy life. Oh, I am glad for the pleasures and the enjoyments of life. But can I tell you, God has us here on this earth because this is a humbling place. This is a place to suffer. It is a place to live for God and to glorify God and show it through our humility. Amen. God is directing us towards humility, and that's what he wants out of his children. When troubles come your way, even when you're accused falsely, even when you're persecuted wrongfully, I'm going to tell you what the Lord said. He didn't say pooch out your lip. He didn't say pick up the phone and call CLA. He didn't say call your neighbor and complain. No. What did he say? He said when you're persecuted wrongfully, when you're falsely accused, he said rejoice and be exceedingly glad for your Father in heaven. He said that's the way that he allowed them to treat the prophets, and your Father in heaven is blessing you, and he sees where you're at, and he'll reward you in the days to come. Hallelujah. God's trying to bring us to a place of humility. He brought the children of Israel through the wilderness to humble them. Number two, notice that although God allowed Israel to hunger, he did provide for them miraculously. He provided bread for them miraculously as was needed. Amen. Again, Christ, I believe, was pointing without doubt to this fact to Satan that he knew, our Lord knew, that he could trust his Heavenly Father and that if he would humbly wait upon the Father, God would provide all that is truly needed at the proper time. You think about the manna that fell from heaven. Man had never eaten manna before. One place it's called angel's food. I don't know what the manna was. Apparently they didn't know what it was. The word manna in the Hebrew actually means what is it? They did not know what it was. It wasn't bread that was baked in an oven. It was not bread that was passed out by a bread truck or made from brought from the bread store. No, it was something that miraculously appeared in the morning, in the dew of the morning. Amen. God provided bread. Amen. In amongst those stones. God provided bread in amongst that wilderness. Are you listening to me? And God can do the same for me and you. We may be going through troubles, and the devil says you'll never have bread again. But I'm telling you, God in his mercy and God in his power can drop us bread from heaven. Amen. We can have meat to eat that you know not of. Hallelujah. I'm feeling it right now in the bottom of my soul. Oh, praise God. I'm glad that when troubles come and trials come, if I'll trust him, he can provide bread for me. He can provide miraculously for me if I'll only trust him and I'll only believe him. Our Lord Jesus knew that he could trust his Heavenly Father. Our Lord Jesus knew that if he humbly waited upon the Father, God would provide all that was needed at the proper time. Let me give you one more thought before I go to my third point on this usage of this particular scripture. You remember how that Abraham and Isaac was trudging up the mountain? I don't think Abraham had a spring in his step because Abraham knew in his heart that he was going to have to slay his son. Abraham knew that both of them was going up on that mountain, but probably only one of them would come down unless God did a miracle. Abraham knew that God had told him to offer his son, his only son Isaac, upon the offering upon the altar on top of that mountain, Mount Moriah. And so Abraham's headed up the mountain, no doubt his heart heavy. Here's Isaac walking along with his father, trusting his father. Here's Isaac walking along with his father, obedient to his father. A very picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Innocent, obedient, humble, trusting. That's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac's walking up that mountain. Isaac's got the wood on his back. Isaac sees that his father has got the knife in his hand. Isaac sees that his father has got the fire in his hand. And he says to his father, he says, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? Isaac did not have a lamb in his hand. Oh no. Abraham did not have a lamb in his hand. Are you listening? But Abraham made that great reply. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Hallelujah. Abraham knew he didn't have a lamb in his hand, but God had a lamb in his hand. Can I tell you, there's times when we'll go through struggles. There's times when troubles will surmount, and we'll wonder if we're going to make it. But I'm glad to report to you that God has in his hand whatever it is that we need. If it's bread we need, he's got it. If it's a lamb we need, he's got it. Hallelujah. I'm glad our God has got all that we need, and he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I had to stop the recording there just a moment and regain my composure. Hallelujah. I'm glad God's got exactly what we need. Amen. Let me give you this third point. Not only God brought Israel to that very place for the very purpose of humbling them, God did miraculously provide for them by dropping manna out of heaven. But this verse also points out that God had thus dealt with Israel in order to teach them something. He was teaching them to rely upon God more than they relied upon their daily bread. Are you listening? Somehow Christ was in this wilderness experience learning obedience, according to Hebrews 5:8. He was learning obedience. He was learning that he could say then that it would be well for Satan to learn a thing or two. Amen. It'd be well for them to learn that they can believe God. We can believe God. We can trust God. God's brought us this way to teach us to trust him. Thank you for listening. Tune in this same time tomorrow for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast.